And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, hump day, August the 3rd, 2016, 1:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Joined in... Why do you call... That's why I don't turn your microphone. A number one case in point, why I don't turn your microphone on is because you hack like
out.
That.
I don't know what...
Yeah, it just comes out. Just as soon as you start to talk, you gotta...
Must be like allergic
pack
to
up an old Pall Mall down there.
I think I'm allergic to this fabric or whatever it's called.
I think not.
Sponge.
Sean Kraft along with me in studio. And this hour the last 15 minutes, we are going to be joined via telephone by... Now be ready for this because you might have a question. Cheryl Lankford, whose husband was killed in the Iraq War in 2007. She attended Trump University.
Did he make fun of her husband?
We don't know. We'll ask Cheryl Lankford, 1:45 to 2 o'clock today. Now, but for the first 45 minutes here, or I guess what we got left, about 25 minutes until that interview will take place, what do you think of Beth Mathias?
Oh, wonderful. Very good lady.
Does anybody out there have a comment about that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What did you think of Beth Mathias, the girl from Marion who
if
went...
I could help her
I
out.
Was in the middle of his talk there, please. The girl from Marion who made it to the Democratic National Convention just a week ago Thursday. Now, go ahead.
No, if I can...
Well, wait a second. Come on. Go ahead.
My attention speaks.
What I was saying at this point is...
Go ahead.
See, please.
Please.
Good well. God Almighty. We're never going to get anything right here. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, just me again.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was very impressed by that young lady.
Yeah.
So wasn't I.
I think we all were.
I'll tell you. Surprising. I wouldn't expect somebody as well-spoken. I don't know why.
So what did you come away from that half hour with?
The girl herself is very, very impressive. I'll tell you one thing I heard of it at the break is Shapley. My God, that woman's an idiot. Good Lord.
Well, don't hold back on our new... by the way, I want to get the plug in. If you want to hear that idiot, catch her between 3 and 5 minutes after every hour, the Phyllis Schlafly Report, Today the Report.
She's going to make me ashamed of being an octogenarian here soon.
No, well, she's... What's people in their 90s? She's 91.
Is she 90 right
yeah.
now?
What is it? What is that person in their 90s?
She has brain rot. Okay.
Well, by the way, for people who do want to listen any hour today, Phyllis's topic is building a wall between here and Mexico in the Republican platform. Okay, go ahead. What's your problem
course,
with Phyllis?
And Mexico's going to pay for it.
Well, she
course.
Said that. She said that roughly too, didn't she?
She did. We need that. And. The Mexicans across that are taking jobs away from Americans. No, they're doing stuff that we don't want to do.
I agree. Now, so Beth Mathias and Phyllis Schlafly, who would you have over for dinner?
Oh, God. 100 times more Beth.
Now, being that, this is interesting, Beth was all about Hillary Clinton here. Did you learn anything about our former Secretary of State?
Not really. I pretty much... read no good bit about Hillary. I didn't learn anything new. I think she's like everybody else, including probably me at times. I can put on my party want to be charming. Well, I don't have much luck being charming, but you can talk to your audience.
But she felt that this woman could help her, and I mean, she's not paid by the Democrats. She was not.
No.
Yeah.
No. Like I say, I was. Amazed by how articulate a person can be and yet unable to find a decent job. You know, that's terrible.
Well, I don't know if we've ever told this story on the air. Maybe we have, but maybe it bears repeating at this. When we were in the old studio in the front of the mall here, we were doing, it was our first year open, and in December, right around Christmas, I think it was the week before Christmas, Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice, came in and did a radiothon for the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And he was giving away things during that radiothon. Now, this is Christmas time, cold outside. And he gave away like some tickets to the movie theater or something. And about 3 hours later, because a radiothon goes on all day, this family came in. You know, a young family, probably in their 30s, I would say. A father, a mother, married, and two children, a boy and a girl, who were probably both under the age of 10, but not babies. And they came in. They had won the prize. They picked up the movie tickets. And they wanted to get a picture with Ted, and they did. And then they just went out and sat in the lobby. And they were in the lobby for something like 20 or 30 minutes, and I couldn't figure out what they were doing in the lobby, because most people don't wait in the lobby, and it wasn't a huge studio like the one we have now. Mm-hmm. And I went out there in the lobby after about 20 or 30 minutes, and I said, is there anything I can help you guys with? I mean, you're more than welcome to sit here, but is there something that I can do? And they said they're homeless, and it was cold outside.
Wow.
Now, these are not unable-bodied people. This is a family. These were not dumb-looking people. And this was Marion, Ohio. And why they were there was the homeless shelter does not let you stay there during the day, even in winter, because they have to clean.
Man.
So where do you go?
It's depressing that in this the country this size, we can't do a better job.
Well, it's interesting, and that story sticks with me much like, you know, this. You don't even know who's homeless. Like you say, this girl's articulate. She's currently working three jobs, so she's not lazy. Her husband's working one, she's working two. She's not a dummy, but yet, within the last 10 years, she's been homeless.
Wow.
And that's what that argument that I keep hearing, that the smarter people will get the better jobs. I don't think so.
No. Sometimes it's somebody that has a buddy that's hiring, or a friend of a friend type of deal.
It is, and that's why yesterday our whole conversation about seniority and what people should make, and, you know, are the homeless just lazy? Are these programs like welfare and all Obamacare, are they just worthless for the lazy? Well, you know, you hear a story like that, and you say, well, you know, what would she have done had there not been food stamps and welfare and Obamacare with her kids during that time when she was homeless? Would she have ever gotten back on her feet?
Oh, quite possibly not. And then we'd end up having another person we'd have to support forever.
Exactly. So I
that
think
that is capable of making her own way.
And I hope people pay attention to that. But I thank you for calling in. And what did you call Phyllis again?
It wasn't pleasant, whatever.
No, it was a good line, though. We'll have to...
Oh, God, you have to replay that.
Brain dead or something. It was funny. Thank you, Gail.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. What do you think of the Phyllis Schlafly report?
Me?
Who else is here? Who else would I be talking to?
I thought you were going to ask the audience. If
you!
Me? I haven't really heard a whole lot of them, but some of them are kind of out there.
Anyway, Joe Scarborough, this is the report now as I just got it. I mentioned to her, Joe Scarborough, the former Republican congressman, now hosts Morning Joe on MSNBC, reports that Donald Trump kept asking why America can't use nuclear weapons during a meeting with a foreign policy expert. I don't know. Does that scare anybody?
All I know, just keep the trigger away from Donald.
Well, if he gets the presidency, he'll have the trigger.
Oh.
Anyway, we've got Ohio
Change
State
Fair. Change the codes, folks. Change the codes.
We've got Ohio State Fair tickets to give away here. Ohio State Fair will be over on Sunday. And we've also got Tecumseh tickets. We can do either one. Two tickets to Tecumseh or two tickets to the Ohio State Fair, whatever you want. And it's going to be presidential trivia. Now, here's the first one. This is going to be good. I know you don't know the answer. First, which president is the only U.S. president to also be a licensed bartender? Only one president has ever done that. Which is the only president, U.S., out of the 44 we've had, ever to also be a licensed bartender? 740-383-9944. You can take your pick. You can have two tickets to the Ohio State Fair, or you can have two tickets to Tecumseh. 740-383-9944. Who is the only president ever of the 44 we've had to be a licensed bartender? Do you know the answer?
I'm going to have to guess.
Guess, and I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
I'm going to have to say Ronald Reagan.
Okay. Why do you think Ronald Reagan was a bartender?
Because he was an actor and all that back then before he... I mean, he wasn't in politics when he became president. I mean...
Well, he had been governor of California.
He was governor of California, but he was sort of an actor, and who else knew what he used to do back in the days?
Okay. I like putting a bunch of questions out there because I think it's kind of interesting, and maybe we'll get more in this way. There's another good one in here I liked. Okay, this is a good one. Here's another one for you. Same prizes if you answer this one right. Who is the only president in history to hold the job of being a hangman? This president, was actually once the sheriff. So I'm not going to tell you where, so you can Google it. But this person was once a sheriff, and twice he had to spring the trap at a hanging. So who is the only president to also ever have held the job of a hangman? You know, the guy who flipped the switch and watched people be hung?
I don't know. You just kicked a chair underneath him.
No, they didn't do that back then. There was a switch. You wound up. Yeah.
So they used to kick the chair out way, way back.
So who do you think that was?
That's a good question. I'll have to think about that one.
Okay, so the two questions out there right now, and you can get two. We'll give you anything you want here. You can have a To Die For cupcake. You can have two free bowling games to Buckeye Lanes for a group of four. You can have two tickets to the Ohio State Fair. You can have two tickets to Tecumseh. Whatever you want, all you have to do is tell me one of those two answers. Which president was also a licensed bartender, or which president also worked as a hangman and actually flipped the switch two different times to have somebody be hung? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Or give us your opinion on anything else out there in the world. And coming up at 45 minutes past the hour, here in about 15 minutes, we'll be joined via telephone by Cheryl Lankford, an Iraqi war widow. Her husband was killed in 2007 in the Iraq War, and she also attended Trump University. That coming up in about 15 minutes. So you better get these trivia questions answered. Which president was also a licensed bartender, and which president was also a hangman? Interesting stuff, to be sure. Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Scott, I'm going to take a guess on the sheriff because I know Grover Cleveland was sheriff in Buffalo. Would it have been Grover Cleveland?
It was Grover Cleveland. You got
it.
Yeah,
I remember he was sheriff in Buffalo. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't. He was, Erie County, Buffalo. You're
right.
Erie County, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want the Tecumseh tickets or the State Fair?
You say you got a cupcake, too?
We've also got the cupcake. All you have to do is just go out there and tell them you want it on the radio station.
Sounds good. We'll do it. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Well, there we go. We got one. It was Grover Cleveland.
Erie.
Grover Cleveland was a hangman.
Erie, Buffalo.
Yeah. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Got to learn that sort of thing.
Yeah. Good question.
Okay. That's one of the questions down. The other questions for two tickets to the State Fair, or two tickets to Tecumseh, or a To Die For cupcake, or two bowling games to Buckeye Lanes for a group of four. Which president was also a bartender? A licensed bartender.
They better get their Ohio State tickets soon because this is the ending. What, Sunday? It's the last day, right?
We need to come up with another one here because we always have two going. We've got the bartender one going. Okay, let's find another one here. Let's see here. Okay. You know, one of these questions, I'm going to read it. This is not going to be a trivia question, but I'm just going to read it because it has to do with President Harding. It says, where is it here? I just lost it. Where was it here? Boy, this is terrible. Oh, here it is. 29th President Warren Gamaliel Harding reportedly made love to a young girl, Nan Britton, in a White House closet. On one occasion, Secret Service agents had to stop his wife from beating down the closet door. How do you think that happened? I mean, we know he was in the closet with Nan, but do you think they had to stop Florence from going in there and beating down the door?
Well, I thought she really didn't know anything about it until later years.
Well?
Am I right on that? I don't know. Maybe she did try to beat the door down with a broomstick or something. Because that's what they used to do, chase people with broomsticks.
Well, I guess you have to go with what you have to go with.
Yeah.
Okay, this is an interesting one. Who was the first president to be a United States citizen? All previous presidents were born British subjects. Who was the first president to be a United States citizen? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You can get to Die For Cupcakes, two tickets to the Ohio State Fair, two tickets to Tecumseh, or two free bowling games to Buckeye Lanes. Which president was the first president to be born a U.S. citizen? Or, you can tell us the other question out there, which president was also a licensed bartender? If you know either one of those, give us a ring, 740-383-9944. Or, if you have an opinion on Beth Mathias, who was in here earlier on, or anything else going on in the world, I'm interested to know, do you think any Trump supporters have changed their stripes since the stuff he's been doing the last few days?
Maybe some of them, but if you're a diehard, no, they don't care what they say.
Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
President Lincoln was a bartender.
President Lincoln was a bartender. How'd you know that?
Gosh, I don't know. I remember from years back.
Well, I am certainly glad you did. What prize would you like? Would you like the To Die For cupcakes, or the fair passes, or the Tecumseh tickets, or the bowling games?
What did you say?
Would you like the To Die For cupcakes, or the fair passes, or the Tecumseh tickets, or the bowling games?
Just pass it on to someone else.
I will do that. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Abraham
Lincoln was a good old man.
Yeah.
He was.
Don't finish that.
No, I'm just saying he was.
But you know how the rest of that goes. Yeah, don't do that. Abraham Lincoln was a bartender. So now we're down to one question again. The question is, which president was the first U.S. citizen? All the rest were born British subjects. Which president was the first U.S. citizen? Okay.
740-383-9944.
That's right. Now, here's another one. Who was the first president to visit all 50 states? Who was the first president to visit all 50 states? So the two questions out on the table right now are, who was the first president born a United States citizen? And the second question, you can answer either one of these, who was the first president to visit all 50 states? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You can get it to Die For a Cupcake. You can get two tickets to the Ohio State Fair. You can get two free bowling games to Buckeye Lanes for a group of four. Or you can get two tickets to the Chillicothe Tradition, Tecumseh. 740-383-9944. Who was the first president born a United States citizen? Or who was the first president to visit all 50 states? 740-383-9944. Do you have a guess on either one of those?
I don't know about the U.S. Senate. That's probably somebody way back when. Probably either Abraham Lincoln or somebody like that. To visit every state, I'm probably going to have to say my guess would probably... I'm going to have to say... Can't be Kennedy.
Remember, coming up in 9 minutes, we'll be joined by Cheryl Lankford, Iraq war widow. Her husband was killed in 2007 in the Iraq War, and she also went to Trump University. So we'll learn about Trump University. That'll be very interesting coming up in about 9 minutes. Again, 740-383-9944 if you'd like to give your opinion on anything, or if you want to answer the trivia questions, which are, who was the first president to visit all 50 states? or who was the first president born a U.S. citizen? 740-383-9944. A lot of great prizes. Two tickets to the Ohio State Fair, a To Die For cupcake, two tickets to Tecumseh, or two bowling games to Buckeye Lanes for a group of four. Now, so you say that the people who support Trump are diehard.
Truly, yeah. If you, yeah, people that are supporting that doesn't care what he says, yes.
Now, let's go back to yesterday, the conversation about the minimum wage. What was your, because you had to leave in the middle of that.
Right.
What was your end result on that? Because you listened in the car. Because the question was, should seniority matter? Should seniority not matter? Should people make the same thing? Should we raise it to $15? What'd you think?
I think certainly if you've been there longer, you've been doing the job longer. Yes, I think you should make more money than the person that comes off the street. Unless, like you said, the other person has a stronger feel, you know, stronger or a better way of doing it, or faster, or if they have a degree. I mean, certainly, if you have a degree, you're going to make a lot more because you went to school for it. But if you, if somebody, John Doe, comes off the street and they get hired in more money than you already been there for years, yeah, I think I have a problem with that. And the $15, as far as the $15 thing goes, I don't think it should be that high.
What if they come in and are doing a better job than you?
We need a better. I
mean, John Doe comes in and he's there 6 months, and his productivity is more. He's getting more done in his time there. Why should he make less money than you for the same job just because you've been there longer, when he's doing the job better?
Well, I mean, hopefully that's not the case. But if it is the case, if the person's doing a better job than you, then yes.
Hey, you're live on the air. Go ahead. Hello, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Richard Nixon was the first president to visit all 50 states.
You are right. It was Richard Nixon. How'd you know that?
Oh, I Googled it.
Oh, you could. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Which prize would you like?
What was the choices?
We have a To Die For cupcake, two free bowling games to Buckeye Lanes for a group of four, two tickets to the Ohio State Fair, or two tickets to Tecumseh.
The two tickets to Tecumseh.
Okay, and what's your name, ma'am?
Sue.
Sue, and what's the last name?
Schrake. It's S-C-H-R-A-K-E.
Okay, Sue Schrake, we'll put you down for two tickets to Tecumseh.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See, there you go. Sue Schrake, the big winner. It was Richard Nixon. So now we've got one question out there. The question is, with 5 minutes in this segment left to go before we're joined by Cheryl Lankford, the question is, who was the first president to be born a United States citizen? And here's another one for you. Who was the first president to be born in a hospital? Who was the first president to be born in a hospital? You can win two tickets to Tecumseh, two tickets to the Ohio State Fair, a To Die For cupcake, or two free bowling games to Buckeye Lanes for a group of four. If you can answer either question, who was the first president born a U.S. citizen, or who was the first president to be born in a hospital? 740-383-9944. So, now what were you saying?
About the
person who comes in off the street who does a better job than the person who's been there 10 years, why should they make less?
Oh, well, yeah, certainly. I'm hoping that's not the case, because if the person's been there 10 years, should know their job pretty well and should be pretty good at their job. But, yeah, if they're slacking and the other person's doing a lot more, yeah, I see. I don't have a problem with that. I think the other person should be.
So, really, you don't believe in seniority. You believe in how good you do your job.
I do believe in seniority on certain occasions, like if it's a vacation deal or a position that opens up.
But that's not pay.
Not pay. Well, yeah, it is. It can be not vacation can't be pay, but the positions can. Like if it's a promotion.
But why, if you're a business owner, why wouldn't you want to promote the person who's doing the job better?
That's necessarily the case. Be honest with you.
But sometimes it is.
It is.
I'm saying when it is.
Oh, when it is, yes.
Okay, we are going, I think we're about to be joined by our guest here, which is going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned here. We're going to have this momentarily, and this is going to be a joy, because we're going to be joined by Cheryl Lankford, who's an Iraqi war widow. Okay, I think we're about to have her on momentarily. Okay, here we go. I think we're going to connect. Okay, we have connected. We good on the line? Okay, Scott Spears continuing on with you here, 42 minutes past the hour, Sean Kraft along with me in studio, and we're very happy today to be joined by somebody who spoke at the Democratic National Convention last week. She is an Iraqi war widow. Her husband, unfortunately and sadly, was killed in Iraq in 2007. She also is an attendee of Trump University, was a student, which means a lot right now with the current presidential election. We're very glad and proud to be joined by Cheryl Lankford. Cheryl, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Tell me a little bit about your husband.
Oh, he was an amazing man. He loved his family, loved his job. You know, he was a soldier in the U.S. Army for 23 years, and he wore that uniform, and he wore it with pride. I think one of the things that we're so proud of him for.
This week, when it's come to Gold Star families, certainly have been in the forefront with the Khan family and the things that Donald Trump's been doing up until yesterday, accepting a Purple Heart. And again, for people who didn't catch that story, he accepted a Purple Heart and took it from the gentleman and really didn't say a whole lot about it in the positive way. People can look that up. But what do you make of what's been going on with the Khan family and Mr. Trump over the last 5 days?
You know, one of the things I have a lot of admiration, and we, of course, we stand with the Khan family because, you know, they have a son who joined the military and he served his nation and he died. He gave his life while doing it. So one of the things I absolutely want to mention is that we stand with them. It is an incredibly difficult thing to bury someone that you love, whether it's your son, your husband, very difficult thing to do. So first and foremost, our condolences go out with them. We also admire them for their strength to go out and do that. But, you know, one of the things that we want to make sure that we do, no matter, you know, what side of the platform you're on, if you're Democrat or Republican, we want to make sure that at all times that we honor the service of those people who put on the uniform and protect this nation.
That being said, what do you make of Mr. Trump's comments?
Well, it was incredibly surprising to hear some of the things that he said concerning the Khan family, considering everything that they have gone through. And it was disappointing at the same time.
I do have the quote now. I was able to pull it up. Yesterday, he was given a Purple Heart at one of his rallies, and this is what he said. He said, "You know, something very nice just happened to me. A man came up to me, and he handed me his Purple Heart. Now, I said to him, 'Is that a real one, or is that a copy?' And he said, 'That's my real Purple Heart. I have such confidence in you.' And I said, 'Man, that's like big stuff. I've always wanted a Purple Heart. This was much easier.'" How does that comment?
Scott, that comment strikes me as being out of touch. It's being out of touch and being removed from what that Purple Heart truly means and what that man did to be able to receive that Purple Heart, what happened to him to receive that Purple Heart. And it just shows a lack of sensitivity to those people who go into combat and get injured and have to come home and repair those wounds.
Your husband, sadly, was lost 9 years ago. Do you ever get over that? Do you ever get past it?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question because I've had other people ask me the same question. And I got to tell you, it's not anything you ever get over. It's something that you learn to live with. Every day gets a little bit easier. We do have our setbacks. But you never really get over losing your husband or losing your son or your daughter. They're always in the front of your mind. They're always in your thoughts constantly, and it never does go away. And so when we have a candidate like Donald Trump who makes comments towards the military or even towards, you know, receiving that Purple Heart yesterday, it feels like to me it's tearing open that very same wound that was there the day I was notified that my husband died. And, you know, one of the things I want to really emphasize to you, Scott, and to a lot of the listeners out there, is that this is a man who is candidating to be the president of the United States. And my mind, when I hear him make comments like that, I want to know, is this the kind of person that we want to be commander-in-chief of this great nation, of our military and of our armed forces? So that's a question that always comes to my mind when I hear him say things concerning the military. The military is a disaster. Like, really? You really think the military is a disaster? What makes you qualified to say those kind of things, and what makes you qualified to be commander-in-chief of this nation?
As of this morning, the latest poll I saw, Hillary Clinton right now has 50% of the vote. Donald Trump has 41. What makes 41% of the population, and it's even here in Ohio where we speak right now, what makes them think he is able to be president, in your mind?
Scott, I honestly do not know. I do not know. It seems like to me, every time he opens up and starts speaking, he only seems to make it worse. So I really cannot understand, you know, why people are really feeling like he is a viable candidate to be the leader of this nation.
At some point, you sat down and decided that Hillary Clinton was the person for you. How did that happen?
You know, Hillary is a person, you know, like I said in my speech, she is a person who has her entire life dedicated herself to helping others. And, you know, even early on, when she before she ran for president, she didn't do it in the spotlight. She did it, she went into inner cities. She helped people that she knew couldn't do anything for her, but she did it anyway. And she's constantly, in her entire life, dedicated her life to serving others in the best way that she could. You know, and so that's one of the things that really got me about Hillary Clinton, that she was dedicated to helping and serving others. And she's still doing that right now with her first 100 days in office. She's got an amazing plan. And she's always done things for others, while Donald Trump seems to be doing things just for himself, all about him.
We had open phone lines earlier on in this program, and this has come up before, but we had a gentleman call in just to share his opinion, and he said that he tends to vote Republican in these elections, but he is not going to vote for Donald Trump this time because he can't stand him, but his conscience won't let him vote for Hillary Clinton because he feels she lies about things and lies about minutia. So I think at this point, what he said was he's going to go for an independent candidate. What would you say to somebody who makes a statement like that?
So you're asking about I'm not sure if I understand your question. You're asking
Right. If for somebody who is not going to go for Donald Trump, has no intention to vote for Donald Trump, but yet also considers Hillary Clinton to be dishonest, and that's what doesn't allow them to go to the other major candidate, what do you say to people who do criticize Hillary for things like that?
Oh, say, I see what you're saying. So I would say, look at what her plan is. Hillary has set out a plan for the first 100 days while she's in office to make more investments in infrastructure, to invest in America's manufacturing, to help to support clean energy and solar-powered energy, and to reduce red tape as far as, you know, for small businesses and that type of, in those types of areas. I mean, we could go down the list of all the things that she has. And one of the things I also want to make very clear is that Donald Trump has a very unclear plan on what he has for America. He has a plan of building walls and, you know, dividing people and not building bridges, while Hillary has been more of a person who unites and who brings people together. So, yeah, on one hand, I can see why he would say, I wouldn't vote for Donald Trump, but I would say, look into what Hillary has planned for America and see that she's bringing people together and that we are making progress and we're moving forward for what we have for the next few years.
Last question about Hillary Clinton here, but one of the things is, and I do hear this a lot, they're not going to vote for Trump. They have no intention of doing that. But again, they say this woman is not honest. It's not necessarily about her plan for the country. You know, before the Democratic National Convention, if you polled people and said, do you trust this woman, she was at 34%, and after, she was at 34%. 34% of the people in this country trust her. That's awfully low. Donald Trump's at 35. What is it that she can't get past that?
You know, Scott, again, that's a good question. I'm really unsure of what, you know, what people have in their minds other than what we spoke about, but I really am unsure of what is in their minds that say, I can't get past whatever it is that's holding them back. And again, I would say, look into the plan. Look into the plan that she has for America. Look into the fact that she is not trying to say she alone has the answer. Look into the plans that she has where she says, we're better together, and see that she is not just trying to do this single-handedly on her own, but she's uniting people, bringing them together to find solutions to real problems.
Another interesting point of your story is that at some point you, I would say, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but liked Donald Trump, as you did decide to go to Trump University. What made you make that decision?
You know, one of the things that helped me make that decision was when the Trump University contacted me, they made it very clear to me that they had people who could come in and train and teach and show me how to be as successful in real estate as Donald Trump was, and that these people learned these tools and techniques from Donald Trump himself. They made big promises, Scott, big promises. They told me I could make thousands and thousands of dollars. Right? And so they came in, and I quickly realized within about a month or so that this is just a scam. And so, like I said in my speech, I realized that Donald Trump made big promises concerning Trump University. And he's doing the same thing right now. He's making big promises to America. He couldn't deliver through Trump University, and I'm convinced he can't deliver to America the big promises that he's making right now. Is this the type of man that we want for Commander-in-Chief for this nation?
What made it a scam? When did you realize this is not on the level?
Yeah, it didn't take long. It was a matter of weeks. I would say about 2 months into the program when they start not receiving, but taking my phone calls and not returning my messages and not sending a mentor over that they had said would mentor and coach me and teach me how to go through this process. That's when I quickly realized, I'm like, this is just not everything that they said it was going to be. And then, they just stopped returning my phone calls, and I realized, you know what? I got ripped off. And I was ashamed. I really was. I was ashamed, and I was embarrassed, and I didn't want to tell anyone.
How much money was lost in the neighborhood on Trump University?
Right now, as I go through all the paperwork that I still have, this was a few years ago, but so far right now, I'm finding about $35,000. I'm still working on the rest right now, but so far, about $35,000.
Of that $35,000, what did you learn? What did you get out of it?
From Trump University?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing. How does that make you feel?
I'm sorry?
How does that make you feel? That over $35,000 got no return at all?
There were so many emotions that I had when I realized that I had been taken, when I realized that I had been ripped off. I had, you know, I was angry. I was afraid. What am I going to do now? I spent this money that was supposed to be for, you know, maintaining my home, taking care of my son. I was, like I said, I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell anyone. I was furious because I've been ripped off. So I had so many different emotions about, what do I do now? How do I make up that $35,000? And how do I tell people what happened to me? So there's, of course, a lot of different emotions that you feel when somebody takes you for that type of money. And that type of money, like I said before, we received after my husband died, and that money was designed for us to live on, and we no longer have that.
That being said, when people will argue, yes, Trump University might not have been the best program in the world, but he obviously is a successful businessman. He makes money. He builds buildings. He isn't a politician. He tells it like it is. Those are the terms people use for him. What do you say to those people?
I would say that instead of taking his word for it, which I learned my lesson, instead of taking his word for what he says about himself, investigate it a little bit deeper. Do something that I didn't do. Make sure that what happened to me doesn't happen to you, and make sure what happens to me doesn't happen to this nation. Make sure what happened to me, bankrupting or pulling money out of my savings account, doesn't happen on a larger scale to our nation. Imagine what he could do by bankrupting America.
If he's elected president on November the 8th, what would be your feeling on November the 9th?
Wow. That's a good question. I got to tell you, I really don't know, other than I will be praying.
For people who like him, do you think they're misguided, or they just are voting against Hillary? Because there's been a lot of that talk.
You know, yeah, and I think people who are there in his camp right now, I believe that they are people who have a real and valid frustration. And that real and valid frustration is with what's going on where they live in their communities, or what's going on in their state, or what's going on nationwide. And I feel like we can't invalidate how they feel. We need to listen. We need to have a united conversation, and we need to find answers to real problems. And that's why I'm voting for Hillary.
With just about 50 seconds left, if you had to make the pitch to people right now, because we're sitting in Ohio where it's a dead heat, even here right now, even after everything he said, what do you say to those people?
I would say vote for the candidate who knows how to speak in a clear and concise and a reasonable manner. Vote for the candidate who will unite people together, who will build bridges, and who will find real solutions for real issues.
And to the people who might be listening to this who are saying, this is somebody who is just angry about being taken by Trump University.
So you're saying what would I say to them?
What would you say? Yeah, that this is just a reaction to losing money to Trump University.
Definitely. Losing money to Trump University is a real feeling that I have. And I don't like losing money, as anybody else would never like losing money, no matter where, you know, the money was lost. But at the same time, we need to take a step back, take a deep breath, and look at the candidate who's going to be the healthiest for this nation.
If the issue with Trump University had not happened, would you still be supporting Hillary Clinton?
I feel like I would be still supporting Hillary Clinton. Like I said, we need to find a real candidate who has real solutions, who unites people and does not divide. We need a candidate who has a plan, a clear plan, to, like I said, for solutions.
Cheryl, I thank you so much for joining us today, and I thank you on behalf of everybody for your husband's service.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for having me. You have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Cheryl Langford. Sean, we got about 1 minute left here. What do you make of that?
Very good, interesting story that she passed on to the American people.
And everybody's got to make their choice, and yep, that's the way it goes. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading
to the dugout.
No, you can't do that.
Around the corner.
You have to shut your mic off now. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Killing innocent people who had no right to be in Iraq, period.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.